Welcome, friends, to the God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek. My name is Matt, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Good day, Pete.
Good day, Matt. Good day, everyone. The God Friend and Me podcast by Fantastic Geek for episode 219, The Fugitive, comes your way now.
This, an episode written by Richard Lowe, directed by Bola Ogun. Pete, good news, the ratings just in as we started to record, a 0.6 rating with 5.9 million viewers. Now, that's down about 400,000 pairs of eyeballs in the total viewers, but equal in the all-important 0.6 rating there. So stability being a great thing. And we have some more great news to share.
Yes, in addition to the relative steadiness of the ratings, perhaps more important, the steadiness of the schedule. We will have a brand new episode next week, so back-to-back weeks. But wait, Matt, look, there's more.
Yes, just in. I think as of yesterday, as of last night's episode, the CBS schedule added not one, but two episodes for the following week. That's at 8 p.m. and 9 p.m. One would assume, Pete, safely, that that would be the season two finale, particularly factoring in when the calendar turns over to May. Sunday nights on CBS will be dedicated towards replaying the some Paramount movies from the library there. But there's even more news, potentially, Pete.
Yeah, so on one of the God Friend of Me Facebook groups, somebody had asked what the schedule was, and knowing this as we were live tweeting and texting back and forth about the episode, I posted that there would be two episodes on Sunday, April 26th, and then was actually responded to by someone who purports to, at least, and I can't check it at this time because there's really no way to do that, but somebody who purports to be Violet Bean's grandfather, a man going by the name of Jerry with Bean with a G. And he said that 22 episodes were completed and the 23rd partially shot, so it may not be shown this season. Hopefully there will be a third season. I'm adding season there. His sentence stopped. My granddaughter, Violet, Kara, thinks there will be.
I would be inclined to agree. I think the ratings have been steady, and this as a partner with football and then doing lower but well on its own, I think that all things being equal, has a good shot at renewal. Now, what does the production schedule look like, you know, post-corona with things up and running, whenever that is? I think that's a huge X factor. The threat, perhaps mitigated, of a writer's strike that would have happened next month or the following month, that I think, you know, another X factor, but, you know, lessened by being concerned about larger things. So, Pete, if this was a normal April, I think it would be, yes, absolutely, positively, see you next season. Now, who knows? Pete, CBS, I believe, has even pushed back their plans to do a digital upfront presentation to advertisers. So, question marks aplenty, but I know we have this episode to talk about. We have three more to talk about in the next 2 weeks. That much is certain.
Well, now let's take a stroll through our eightfold path to enlightenment about this episode. Corey confirms he works for DARPA and has unlimited resources, but needs help because the code was stolen. But who did it? It's a new mystery of who's behind the God account. The next day, Allie's welcome to stay with Miles, though her hair's starting to come out.
Later at brunch, Miles updates Kara and Rakesh about Allie, and Kara catches Miles and Rakesh up on Corey's interest in tracking the real person behind the God account. Miles is on the fence, but hey, where's his wallet? It is returned to him by a gentleman. The group meets up with Corey, who's ready to use some DARPA computer power to work on the account. If only they had a hacker and a computer. How about Rakesh with the Raspberry Pi?
Ding, friend suggestion. Russell Hill's the new friend. He's the wallet returning guy. Looks like he was nabbed for stealing. Time for the God Squad to head to court. Miles and Kara sit in silence. He wants to get a drink later, but she's booked up and she's ready to share that she's with Adam. Court starts and Russell's lawyer is ready for a plea deal, but Russell's not there. Be with him tomorrow or it's extra jail time.
Miles and Kara talk to the lawyer, no dice. Bonnie arrives. She's a bail enforcement officer, which is to say she's a bounty hunter. Who will find Russell first? Off they go to his favorite diner. Meanwhile, the most reverend Finer goes to see Allie. He has bought her a wig. Allie's upset, even though Dad was only trying to help. Good day, Dad. I say good day. Back at the diner, Russell's favorite waitress fesses up that she helped him buy a train ticket, and the train leaves in 20 minutes. Luckily, they're close to the station, and there's Russell, with a baby daughter.
Watch out. It's the bounty hunter, but she's given the slip when Russell ditches his orange coat. They go to Miles' apartment, with Russell emphasizing he's got to look after daughter Maya. He won't let her fall into foster care. Furthermore, his conviction on car theft was him just helping a friend drive a car. He didn't know it was stolen, and now the legal system is swallowing him up. If only he knew some good lawyers.
Hey, Samir and Jay Patel from a few episodes back can help. I love it when characters return. Cut to Rakesh and Corey talking with Zach. Hey, I love it when characters return. Why not turn the Raspberry code into an app, and then it's easy peasy. Back to the Patels, they think there's a legal path out, but step one is Russell turning himself in. He can do that, but it's Bonnie at the door. She's been tracking the phones of Miles and Kara, and it's time for Russell to be taken in. Russell gives Maya over to Miles. Back at the apartment, it's dirty diaper time for three squatters and a baby.
But how can they find Emmett, the real car thief? Bonnie is willing to help. Back in Miles' apartment, Rakesh and Kara think that baby Maya needs a nap, and Kara reflects on things going well with Adam. At Allie's bar, she chews out her brother for sharing too much with their father. Bonnie updates Miles. Emmett's in lockup. Time to talk to him, and a commercial break later, he's going to fess up and help free Russell. It's the GFM happy ending, but it's not. The judge is sentencing Russell to 6 months for failure to appear before the court.
It's a punch to the gut, and Maya gets handed over to Child Services. Feels like a loss, but ding, a house is being sold by Joan Holbrook, a former foster parent who had Russell Hill once. She even has a picture of Russell with her daughter, and it's Bonnie. She's family, and she'll help. Back at Identity Seal, Corey's phone is all set to finally get the account answers. Back at Miles' apartment, Allie takes control and shaves her head. It's a happy next step. Miles is ready for that next step. He's going to tell Kara how he feels, but we see him walking past her while she has lunch with Adam.
And now it's time to step into the confessional.
Pete, here we are, the show tantalizing us with the notion of finally getting down to the very absolute bedrock bottom of who is behind the God account. Will that happen in the next three episodes, or will we find that the bottom is the ceiling to another bottom next season?
The 2 hour the two episode affair on the 26th definitely has us questioning what's going on. They've not had back-to-back episodes run. You gotta wonder why they're not stretching it to another week to fill the schedule. I really hope this is not a sign that they're wrapping it up.
Well, I know it is a new entry to the CBS schedule to be having the return of the Sunday night movie, to be taking stuff from the Paramount Vault, recently acquired with CBS and Viacom reuniting and all that. And I think that's more, that Sunday night movie is a function of trying to find some interesting, quote unquote, new programming that people can get around. And the idea of, oh man, I can't wait to go watch, you know, Mission Impossible or Raiders of the Lost Ark or, you know, whatever it is that's on the 6 week Sunday night movie of the week schedule. That might, I think that desire to start it May and run into June, that might be why, hey, let's clear the deck Sunday nights. Let's move everything out of the way, including God, Friend, and Me, going to double up on, you know, if we can believe the purported grandfather of Violet Bean, you know, what would have been a longer season, but that's how it shook out.
Makes sense, as does the concept that the code here was stolen.
Yes, I don't know. I'm never a huge fan of the secret history revealed and the fact that we're now in multiple iterations of what actually is behind the God account. I know I've been saying since the beginning of the series, I would be okay if we just don't find out. If there's some sort of wall and you go, I don't know, and you know, maybe kick the story can down the road for another time. The series has chosen to not do that. It's been part of the ongoing story to get to the bottom. Again, I just wonder, you know, best case scenario, let's say that next season is another 22 episodes. All right, how much of those episodes are going to be, you know, the DARPA connection? And then maybe it really actually didn't get away from DARPA, but they made Corey think it did. You know, there's a certain point where it's the snake eating its tail in order to have the snake eating its tail versus, I don't know, some more kind of character-driven stuff, because again, at the end of the day, the show can't definitively prove that there is no God and this is complex code, or code cannot do this, it probably is God. Neither of those are outcomes that the show can really exist in.
The statement by the gentleman on Facebook about part of a 23rd episode is a curious one. You wonder if they go to some kind of plot device that allows it to be done remotely, like, oh, the end of this episode or portions of this episode are done via social distancing. Here I am coming to Rakesh through a laptop from a separate location.
Well, I know that the CBS legal drama All Rise is in the process of completing an all digital, whether it's FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, you know, et cetera, episode. I must confess, Pete, though there are at least two Marvel Cinematic Universe actors in the show, I've never seen it. I'm going to watch that episode because I've never seen anything like that before. And I think that even if it's not a great episode, I think that they deserve a ton of credit for going in that direction. Maybe CBS says, all right, we're just going to do it with the one. You guys had the original idea. Nobody else copy it for the network, that kind of thing. But I'll gladly take the 23rd episode of God, Friend, and Me, you know, this season, however, in some sort of remote shooting scenario, I'll take that versus the cliffhanger, the unintended, you know, or the intended 222 cliffhanger of, oh no, now Ali is taking a turn for the worse. Tune in next week for, oh, crud, there is no next week, and we don't know when the next episode can be done. And, you know, worst would be that's how we end the show, is some sort of unintentional tune in next week, but next week never comes.
Unintentional, intentional. Matt, I'll let you and our listeners decide. How about an episode in which there is a bounty hunter, a baby, and then the reveal that the bounty hunter had been an orphan?
Well, certainly does sound a lot like The Mandalorian. Certainly this episode, almost certainly written after The Mandalorian came out. I'll add to it too, this is a season that's had episode titles more recently, like High Anxiety, A New Hope, Almost Famous, The Fugitive, Collateral Damage. So, you know, some movie titles mixed in there. I don't know, the hero with a thousand faces notion of we are all telling the same story over and over certainly brought a smile to my face to see another tale of a bounty hunter hardened on the outside, but with a heart of gold nonetheless.
Hungry for more Mandalorian, you can certainly check out the Mandalorian podcast by Fantastic Geek. But moving on, Matt, a lot of returns in this episode. Though we had Ray Nicolette name checked, he did not appear. Easily the most frequent former Friends suggestion. But how about the Patel brothers and their secretary, Judy, Zach, and the Raspberry Pi?
Yeah, in fact, I was jokingly texting you as clearly this situation of Russell's needed a lawyer. I was starting to text you, you know, oh, they should go to the Patels. Then the Patels showed up. I guess here's the benefit. The benefit is that, you know, clearly the show had some sort of larger plan in terms of, hey, let's lock down the Patel brothers actors for multiple episodes. Or, hey, as we're writing this, let's, you know, let's really say, hey, guys, in 6 weeks, we're shooting this episode. Let's sign that contract right away, that sort of thing. Within the world of the show, it's no big deal that they would go back and circle back to lawyers that they helped, you know, in Showtime a month ago, 6 weeks ago, something like that. In the real world, that's not always possible because maybe Jay Patel is off shooting this movie and maybe, you know, the other guy is busy doing a play. The fact that the production was able to get them all together, that's the real trick. It's less impressive that our characters sought out old characters. The fact that it really happened, that's great.
I really had to ponder the notion as it happened. As interesting a twist as it was, how is it that Bonnie didn't recognize Russell?
I mean, he was quite a baby, and he was there for, what, a handful of months. Then you put his, you know, kind of rather bushy beard on his face. I would buy that. Building off of that, Pete, I'll just mention that whatever day they were filming the exterior of the train station with Russell and baby Maya, it was this cold, gray, rainy day, probably filmed, what, February, March? And my heart just went out for that, you know, that wee baby who, you know, Russell is the act, you know, Russell as well as the actor, you know, hand on her head, trying to keep the rain off her forehead. And I was just like, oh my goodness, this poor production that probably was like, oh, I'll have a baby outside for a scene, you know, and set up a tent so the thing's not too cold. You go out there and it's just this terrible day to have a baby out there, but they made it work.
I really appreciated the moment they gave Javicia Leslie with Allie turning the losing of her hair into a win.
Yeah, I think that for all the, I'll say, criticism, for all the loving concerns that we had earlier in the season or at the end of last season, where Allie would say, hey, you look really upset. Can you recap what happened to me earlier in the episode? Oh, I gotta go. Thank you. You know, like that kind of thing. I mean, they're really giving Allie, you know, obviously this terrible thing in fiction, and they're giving Javicia Leslie all this stuff to act through. And, you know, the pride on Allie's face as she walked out, having kind of reclaimed her face, her body over this situation by shaving her hair. It was a wonderful character moment.
And then we go from the stabbing of Miles finding out about Kara being with Adam to the twist of the knife at the end of the episode. I mean, he's been at his lowest point. We're sitting there in court. He's just gone through this with his sister, and he's got to find this out. And then at the end, it gets twisted.
Pete, our millennial prophet has had successes week after week lately, but, you know, I know there's a line in this episode, this doesn't feel like a win, and it takes Rakesh to say, all right, relatively speaking, Russell's 6 months in prison is a better situation than 15 years. I'll mention as a side note, it strikes me as terribly harsh by the judge to do that merely for failure to show up in court for reasons that I think are admirable and were well explained by, you know, more focused lawyers versus the public defender, et cetera, et cetera. But I get it. I get kind of the math of it. But Miles keeps eking out these wins for others that don't feel like wins for him either. You know, not that he's doing this to win Kara's love, but certainly he's talked about doing this to try and get some sort of help for Allie, and neither seems to be happening.
What are people saying on the horn?
Pete, over on Twitter, we heard from James, that's at Big Killin, who says, I thought it was going to end on a down note, but they brought it all together again. They really pushed the boundaries with that ending, but nailed it. We heard from Peter, that's at Tweet Scala. I had tears in my eyes throughout the entire episode. Looking forward to a new episode of the podcast. Pete, it happened. Here it is.
Always eager to meet the demands of our audience here.
Yeah, and I'm excited to know, you know, after week on, week off, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. New episode next week that we get to chew over. And then, though it makes for a slightly larger podcast creature to create in 2 weeks' time, to know kind of with certainty, not that I'm saying I wish the season was over, but to kind of know we're going to go out for this season, we're going to go out with a big kind of double episode, big discussion. And in a weird way, it kind of adds to some juice to say the fate of the show, the fate of so many shows, the fate of when Hollywood can resume filming, when filming can continue in New York, etc. Those are all question marks. I think it'll make us only more invested in these next three episodes.
Oh, completely agreed. And the real world story intruding on our fictional world and the way that it plays out.
Well, Pete, as there are these strange times, these challenging times, extra thanks to those who support us on patreon.com/fantasticgeek. That support matters now more than ever, and we, of course, are so proud to be listener-supported.
Everybody who contributes to patreon.com/fantasticgeek gets access to exclusive podcast content, can't get it anywhere else, and then there's all sorts of levels that you can contribute at. Can't contribute this month, get yourself over to Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating in seconds, leave us a review, it takes a little bit longer, but all are appreciated.
Absolutely, and all sorts of goodies there. However, the best, Pete, is a freebie. It's talking to you on Twitter. How can people do so?
You can find me on Twitter at Peter, PieterJKetelaar, KetelaaR, 11,290 followers. Can't be wrong.
And while I'm personally on Twitter, is looking back lost, do be in touch with the podcast. Comment on fantasticgeek.com. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail. But wait, Pete, there's more.
Facebook.com/fantasticgeek with a PH, all one word, like it today.
Well, Pete, I know we will be back next Monday to talk the latest episode of God, Friend, and Me. With that, I will say adios to all our listeners and give you the final word.
Hair loss is God's way of telling us we're human.